From WHQR Public Media, this is The Newsroom. I'm Ben Schachman. Thanks for listening to this special edition for the 2025 Wilmington City Council election. This year, there are three open seats on council, and we have eight candidates, including six challengers and two incumbents. We also have three candidates for mayor, including our incumbent mayor. While the city council race is technically nonpartisan, the local Democratic and Republican parties do play a role in supporting candidates. For city council, we have four Republican candidates and four Democratic candidates. Although the County Democratic Party implemented a straw poll to narrow its support to three of those candidates, and one of the two Democrats running for mayor. And we'll have more information about all of that on the show page. On today's show, we're interviewing Republican challenger Kelly Roberts, a U.S. Navy veteran who now works in cybersecurity, who is running for a seat on Wilmington City Council. We'll ask him a host of questions drawn from listeners and readers and our community agenda program. All right, well, Kelly Roberts, candidate for Wilmington City Council, thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So before we get into policy questions, I want to give people a chance to get to know you a little bit. So tell us a little about, you know, who you are, what you do, all that good stuff.
So I'm a senior cybersecurity engineer for CDW. I live downtown, a concerned citizen, and eventually the things I was seeing downtown made me kind of want to run for office. As I dug into the depths of the budget and things that looked like they needed help, I figured the city could really use me, so I decided to run.
All right. And what party, if any, are you affiliated with and why?
Republican Party. Their values fit my values. We need to get a hold of this budget and do something about the crime.
All right, so let's get into it. First issue we've been asking candidates about, and this is top of the mind of a lot of people we talk to, is affordable housing.
Right.
So I'm curious how you think about this issue, what role you think, if any, the city should have here.
Well, it's no secret that the housing price is going up. We live in a beach community. People are working online. People are moving here. So it's not getting any better, especially for teachers, police officers, things like that. Affordable housing is going to make sure that none of that goes over 30% of their total budget, right? That's the idea. Well, you have to have that, and you also have to have government subsidies to make that work. It might seem as if the developers are being a little selfish, but you can't build something and not make any money on it. These guys have families as well, right? So I do believe in the government subsidizing that different various ways. But there's a couple different ways for that as well.
So, I mean, I know some people feel like they object to the government sort of directly using taxpayer money. And some people feel like it's an important part of economic development. So you're on the side of, you know, if that's what it takes to make this project pencil out, then.
Yeah. Well, you kind of have to do that. And it's been that way in Wilmington for a while. If you look at the city initiative starting in 2016, it's been that way for a while. There was $2 million allocated for this particular project in the last budget, and in the 2026 budget, there's $2.8 million allocated to this. So it's already in the works. It has to happen.
All right. When we talk about housing, you know, in our newsroom, sort of the extreme version of this, as we see it, is homelessness as being like the worst case scenario for a housing situation,
right.
Acknowledging that it also overlaps with mental health issues and substance use issues. I know that this is something that you're passionate about. So, you know, how do you see this issue and where do you think the city can play a role there?
So the city is kind of playing a role. They're giving subsidies to these special programs. So we have special programs at 27 of them, right, that help people get off drugs, give them housing, rehabilitation. The problem is not everybody that's in these programs is from Wilmington. The surrounding counties don't necessarily do their part either. So we're actually too good at this. We're bringing people in. And they're staying, kind of like a college kid goes to UNCW, says the beach is beautiful, I'm staying here. So what happens with these subsidy programs is that there's no end. They go through the process, they go through the rehabilitation part, and then they're dropped back out on the street in Wilmington. Now, it's not that way for everyone, but for the most part, that's why we're having an influx in the homeless problem.
So what would your approach be, assuming that is true, and there is some debate over, you know, just how much of the homeless population is being pulled here versus how much is from here.
But
taking that as you know, for the sake of argument, what would you do about that? Because obviously downtown business owners are frustrated, you know, and law enforcement's frustrated. So, you know, is there anything differently you think the city could do?
Well, first of all, I want to say that jail's not the answer. So even if you criminalize loitering, if you criminalize camping, that doesn't mean that you get arrested immediately. jaywalking is illegal. Are you going to get arrested or a ticket when you walk across the street, you know, when the police officer sees you? No. What that does is that leaves it up to the owners, and it gives them the option to see which guy is causing problems, which guy is not. It's not fair to say that all unhoused are causing problems, because they're not. We know our local guys. We know which guys are cool and which ones are not. But when the new guys come in and someone's got mental illness, schizophrenia, that scares people off, and we need to do something about that.
All right. Another question about development, and this is something we hear irrespective of party. Every time we see a larger multifamily development, especially large apartment complexes, we hear pushback from neighbors saying, you know, the pace of development in Wilmington or this region in general is out of control.
It is.
So how do you see the city's approach there, given that, you know, there's some things builders can do by right. There is some demand for more housing, but obviously some people are very upset with that.
Yeah. So I guess it depends if you want walkability. So if you want people to have a healthy lifestyle, if you want to cut down on traffic, then you need to put these affordable housing units or even just apartment complexes. Say you have, you know, apartment with 1,000 units in it. You need to put that close to downtown so it doesn't make traffic worse. Well, not everybody agrees with that either. So I don't think you should put it on market where it makes the traffic even worse than it is already. So what we've done is we've built a highway system that goes around, loops. There's infrastructure for large apartment complexes outside of a little bit outside of the city, and that's what I would suggest. It's going to bring businesses to that community as well.
One follow-up question we've had for most of the candidates talking about this is some people have suggested that downtown, maybe not right on market, but downtown in general could absorb and support more density. There are also some people who feel like, you know, they're not maybe emotionally ready for a different skyline in downtown Wilmington. Do you feel like Wilmington has hit the point where it is big enough to start seeing that kind of taller building downtown?
Well, the infrastructure that we have cannot handle the influx of more people. The only way that you're going to build a building like that has to be downtown. You can't put that on Market and College up there. It's just not going to work. That's going to create more traffic, more havoc. People will be at stoplights for 30 minutes. I could argue that's the only place to build it.
So last question about development, and that is something we hear from folks quite frequently. They're frustrated with depletion of the city's green space. And you could take that to mean everything from just the tree canopy lining the street all the way up to, like, you know, large multi-acre parks. So what role do you think the city, you know, could or should play in protecting or in creating more green space?
Well, the trees in Wilmington are a little bit different than the trees in most places. These are hundreds and hundreds of years old. You've got to preserve those trees. So first of all, keep that. Secondly, green space in every city is necessary. Throughout the United States, I think 28 million children don't have access to a park within 10-minute walking. I've seen Pittsburgh adopt a policy, Atlanta adopt a policy, where they're going to make sure that every child and in person has a park within a 10-minute walk. It increases mental health, it decreases health issues, and it helps with temperature. Temperature is a thing. Lastly, we're talking about water runoff, preserving, you know, the waterways that's going to go right into the river. The more parks we have, the less that happens. So it's good for the environment as well.
And that's something you feel like, you know, taxpayer money would be well spent
Absolutely.
On?
Absolutely. That's what taxpayer money is for.
Right on. All right. I want to pivot a little bit and talk about economic development. So over the last, I'd say 20 years, I've seen a number of sort of direct city incentives. Talk about the packages put together for PPD, Live Oak, National Gypsum. And then there's sort of softer touch approaches where, you know, the city has brought in business leaders, trying to get them acquainted, maybe hope they'll fall in love with the Wilmington area and move or start a business here. And then there's also programs to help small business owners. So it's a big umbrella. There's a lot under it.
I don't think that it's one or the other. I think you do both.
Sure. I mean, what would your approach be as broadly as you want to?
Well, I'm from Texas, so people are going to love or hate this answer.
Okay.
I think you bring in business and you don't tax them. We're doing pretty good down in Texas financially. 10th largest GDP in the world. I think Wilmington's a wonderful place to live. It's the reason I live here. I love it. I'm never leaving. I think you bring businesses in and you give them tax breaks. They create jobs and it's better for everybody.
As far as the existing businesses, you know, whether that's entrepreneurs or small businesses, do you feel like that's the free market or the city has some role in helping those businesses?
Well, I think that's a good question. There needs to be a program for local small business, not for small business in general. If you can prove that you've been here for a certain amount of time and you're one of ours, then I think they should get a loan subsidy. Like, it should be easier for them to get a small business loan.
The other question we have about economic development, and we hear from folks a lot about this, is there's been a lot of economic growth in Wilmington over the last quarter century that has not been enjoyed equally around the city. So we often get questions about whether the city should address economic inequality. And in Wilmington, that often looks like racial inequality. So some people feel like the city has a role in that. Some people don't. What's your take on that?
Yeah, so I think they do go hand in hand. It's not just in Wilmington. It's everywhere. The systemic racism is difficult to get over. The systemic problem that's been here for 100 years. And if you want to talk about economic inequality, there's a place called Wrightsville Beach. It's a little bit different. So people moved here before there was an economy. There was no jobs here. People just came here as their vacation home, right? As it's gone through the transition of becoming a larger city, we have created jobs. We have created an economy. And so it's naturally going to work out.
All right. Another pivot here. I want to talk about public safety. So the city, as we're recording this 2 days after announcing its new police chief, which for many people feels like a chance to, you know, stop and reevaluate, either reinvest in what the police department's been doing or, you know, change course and try different strategies. It's also, you know, not a secret, I think, that both the police and the fire department are really struggling with recruiting and retaining talent. So broadly speaking, you know, what are your thoughts on public safety?
Well, I think we have a problem with public safety, especially downtown. It's one of the reasons I ran. A couple incidences that I've seen personally. I don't know if you see my campaign signs, enough is enough.
I was going to ask what that meant, but I figured we would get to it.
That's it, man. Enough is enough. Somebody's got to do something. I think WDI is doing an excellent job of putting the people in the right place. They're a good liaison between the police department and the population. I think everyone's trying, but we're not trying hard enough. We have 209 officers on the police force. We're budgeted for 285. That means we have the money for 285 officers. We can't keep them, man. We can't keep them. They're going other places. You get paid $10,000 more in Leland than you do here. Why? Someone explain that to me, right?
It's definitely a bidding war between Wilmington and other. And I think also, what I hear from officers sometimes is that the demands and the stress and even the danger, right, is higher in Wilmington than someplace maybe like Boiling Spring Lakes or up in Onslow County.
Or even Leland. Like,
and so that it's, you know, it's not just the salary, although that's part of it, but also, you know, what you are called upon to do for that salary.
Well, let's look at this. So the starting salary in Wilmington is $46,000 a year. That's when they're in training. It's $22 an hour. When they become a police officer, it's $48,000 a year. It's $22.26 per hour. Okay, you go to Leland for the exact same job, it's 56. That's a big jump, man.
Yeah.
So we can talk about other reasons and culture, and I'm glad we got a new police chief. But until we raise the pay to be competitive, we're not going to be able to keep anybody. On Saturdays and Sundays and Friday night, we have to get officers from different counties to come help downtown. So it's a little silly.
Yeah. So that would be your first order of business, though, would just be, you know, scaling up the pay rates.
I think it's the first order of business that's been talked about for a while already. If you look at the fiscal budget for 26, we got $8.6 million in competitive pay, looking for skilled employees. I know the horses were kind of an issue for a while, and I did do some research on that. Listen to these numbers. So it's about $330,000 a year for the horses. You divide that by 210, which is roughly the police force that we have, that's only $1,500 more per year for these cops. So the horses are not the problem. We need to cut budget somewhere else.
Just out of curiosity, any idea where you might be interested in cutting the budget?
Well, I think that the streets and sidewalks do need to get fixed, but I see that we have allocated, I think, $100 million over the next 5 years for that. So I would argue we need to make sure we're getting the correct contractors pay on that. We need to make sure we're getting the correct bid. And we're not wasting money on just contractor A and B because we like them.
All right, here's the last policy question, and that's about public transportation. For people who follow along at home with this, the federal government pays for most of WAVE, but the city of Wilmington is the largest local funder. The county has at times been at the table, at times not. Right now they are at the table. But it's certainly struggled to find a model that seems to work for people. So how do you think about this?
Have you seen how expensive it is to build like a train or a rail?
I have,
yes. You seen how long it takes?
Yes.
I was in D.C. and they were building a rail the entire time I was there. I was there for 4 years. One rail, one from like the Grand Station out to Dulles Airport for like an 8-year project. So that's not the quickest way to do it, although I will say it's probably the best. There's a highway that goes around one of the loops, like I said before. In Austin, Texas, we made one from Cedar Park to downtown. Helps traffic tremendously. People do use it. If we're going to take that route, I would just suggest some patience and understand that we can't even budget for a police force right now. And so that's going to take a lot of money and a lot of time.
So you're talking about the rail relocation possible loop program?
Well, I'm talking about, yeah. So I'm talking about if someone works downtown and they have to drive 25, 30 minutes, they get on that rail, they're on their laptop the whole time on the way to work. A lot of people do that in larger cities.
So short of that, because to your point, rail is very expensive.
Yeah.
The eminent domain process alone would take years and years and years.
Yeah.
Are there any changes you'd like to see to the existing, say, bus infrastructure?
Well, I think the bus infrastructure is in a really crowded part of town. First of all, if you drive through there, you'll know the bus stops on Market every 30 seconds, causing traffic jams. But the more people that you have in a city, the more you need public transportation. There's a lot of studies that'll go out that'll tell you can increase the width of a highway one or two lanes. Doesn't help. You need public transportation if your city's growing, bottom line.
So one of the questions about that is we've had, you know, a lot of people ask slash suggest that there might be some way to connect, you know, Wilmington's bus system with the surrounding counties, because we have so many people coming into the city for work from Leland, from Hampstead. Mm-hmm. But that would probably take the buy-in and cooperation of those municipalities or counties.
And the counties, right. So I don't know if that's a city council issue, but I feel like the counties would have to talk that over. And I think that's a great idea, to be honest with you. Yeah, I do.
All right. Well, those are our policy questions. I'm curious if there's issues you'd like to talk about, things that we didn't get to.
Yeah. So we're talking infrastructure, which is big. A lot of people forget about network infrastructure. They forget about cybersecurity. Most cities do have a commission for overseeing network infrastructure. And I think this is where it separates me from the other candidates a little bit, is that I do understand that network infrastructure. I'm a senior engineer. I know the ins and outs, the code versions, exactly how a network's supposed to be set up. And you can act like you're not going to get hacked all you want. Eventually, it's going to happen. So we need somebody in city council that understands technology. We have enough real estate agents. We need someone who understands technology on the board.
All right. anything else you would want to add or let potential voters know?
No, I love Wilmington. I'm never leaving.
Good answer. All right. Kelly Roberts, candidate for Wilmington City Council. Thank you very much for being here today.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you.
That was our interview with Republican challenger Kelly Roberts, who is running for a seat on Wilmington's City Council. I'm Ben Shockman. Thanks for listening to this special edition of The Newsroom. And check out our other candidate interviews at whqr.org or wherever you get The Newsroom as a podcast.